the resurrection, pinnacle of our faith. If it didn't happen, we are to be most pitied, Paul said. Fools for believing a lie. But it's happened. How do you know it's happened? We're living proof. Why is that? Amen.
Yeah.
Like the old song says.
And walks with me and talks with me, right?
Yes. Doesn't mean I listen or walk with him, but
about the gift of the Spirit.
Yeah.
Amen. So that's what I'm just going to refresh your memory of what the resurrection means, okay? That's all I'm going to do. And it's an amazing truth. It's everywhere in Scripture that this truth changes us completely, totally. We're not never the same again, okay? Now, the first thing that happens to us, I've even given you the Scriptures, because He rose again, we're born again.
Right.
His resurrection means our regeneration. It says that very clearly in Scripture. We actually sung about it. 1 Peter 1:3 says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to His great mercy, He has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." Born again through the resurrection. Okay, the only reason we're born again is because He rose from the grave. Why is that? Can you have any idea why that is? Do you remember like John 14 through 16? Jesus said, "I'm leaving, but I'm going to send another one just like me in every way, who's actually God in a spirit form, not flesh form. And He's going to be with you always, and I will be with you always." How is He possibly with us always? He's with us always through the Holy Spirit. It's the Spirit of Christ who lives in us, okay? It's the Spirit of Christ, the Spirit of life, who gives life to our bodies, who causes us to be born again, John 3, right? Basic teaching. If you have not the Spirit of Christ, you don't belong to Him. The Spirit of God that Jesus sent after He rose from the dead, as we see in the book of Acts, these fearful, hiding disciples, afraid of the authorities, suddenly Holy Spirit comes. Jesus Christ comes back in the form of Holy Spirit and indwells them. "Lo, I will be with you always," right? And He animates them into new creations. They're regenerated, not by any doing of themselves, okay? It's the Holy Spirit. God has made what was dead alive. That's Ephesians 1 and 2, Romans 8. You should go home and read these scriptures. You know, this is our faith. These are doctrines of our faith. It gets me so excited. I've been like 2 weeks in these things. It's like, oh, it's so incredible. Friends, you think about it. We cannot save ourselves. We cannot do anything to be reborn, okay, to experience new birth. It's all Him. He calls, He chooses, He does it all. He's the one who gives new birth. That's what we receive because Jesus rose from the dead, okay? I'm going to take you to Ezekiel 36, an Old Testament passage, because it talks about the resurrection that, depending on your theology, it may come to the Jews one day, but I believe it's a picture of the resurrection we experience. Ezekiel 36, just because most people don't go to the Old Testament, that's why I chose this one. But verse 25. It's so, I preach this text. It's amazing. It's a new birth. "I will sprinkle clean water," Ezekiel 36, 25, "clean water on you. You will be clean. I will cleanse you from all your filthiness and from all your idols. Moreover, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. And I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will be careful to observe all my ordinances." It's obedience. Okay, there's no possible way you could obey Jesus on your own. Otherwise, you'd be bound by law. You'd still be living in the Old Testament. What is the new covenant? It is, according to Jeremiah, Hebrews 8, the Spirit of God dwelling in us so that we can live the life that God requires us to live. That's what regeneration is all about. We can't do it. We're dead in our trespasses and sins, Ephesians 2. And He has to make us alive through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Amen? Mm-hmm. Simple. That's the gospel. Mm-hmm. Number two. His resurrection means our justification. Big word, just means you go from being condemned to be declaring righteous. That's it. Simple. Simple truth. But a really big truth. Can you declare yourself innocent? No. Romans 4:25, he was delivered over to death for our sins and was raised to life for our justification. Okay? He who knew no sin became sin that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. That's the truth. Wonderful truth. I can't do it. He did it. If he doesn't do it, I'm still on my way to hell as a guilty sinner. So, this is the proof. I could take you through many, many scriptures. The resurrection is the proof that God accepted the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross as payment for our sins. Now that debt is paid and we are guilty no more. That's why Paul can say in Romans 8:1, there is now therefore no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Right? Being born again, being regenerated, places in Christ. You are in Christ because his righteousness is now your righteousness. You're declared not guilty. That's theology 101 of being saved. Okay? Basic truth. But listen, it seems so hard for some people to receive the fact that I didn't have to do anything. And living the Christian life is not you trying to do something to please God. Okay? Let me read Ephesians 2:6. God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. I can send you these if you want to if you don't want to take notes. In order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace, expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, not of yourself, it is a gift of God. Amen. God raised us up with Christ. If he raised Christ up from the dead, proving that he accepted Christ's sacrifice for our sins, that Jesus paid the penalty for sins, God received that sacrifice and said, I see that my son has paid for the sins of the world and all who put their faith in him. I will take him back up where he was with me in the beginning, and he will sit with me. And because I'm in Christ, I'm seated with Jesus in heaven. And the same way he looks at his son, he looks at me. I'm not guilty. I approve my sacrifice, the sacrifice of my son is applied to you, man of God, woman of God, and I see you as righteous and clean in my sight. Okay? It's a beautiful truth. Yes. We are regenerated by resurrection. We are justified by resurrection. His resurrection means what? Our resurrection. The great hope of our faith, that one day we're going to leave this planet and all the garbage going on here, and we're going to be taken up to be with him forevermore. See, 1 Corinthians 6:14, God has not only raised the Lord, but will also raise us up through his power. Through his power, the power of the resurrection was going to raise us up to be with him when he comes back. Okay? Jesus is the first fruits, guaranteeing that the rest of the harvest will come in. We're the rest of the harvest, all who put their faith in Christ.
Thank you, Lord.
1 Corinthians 15:22. As an Adam all die, so also in Christ. In Christ, nobody else, not if you're not in Christ, you ain't going up when he comes. In Christ shall all be made alive. But each in his own order, Christ the first fruits, then it is coming those who belong to Christ. Do you belong to Christ? You belong to Christ. Where are you going when he comes back? You're going up. You don't even have to get your best Sunday clothes on. He'll just take you the way you are. Because all that's going to drop off anyway, right? You're going to get a new body, as we saw yesterday. New body. This perishable body would just perish. Gone. Poof, in an instant, in the twinkling of an eye, we're transformed. This old body, it's getting older by the minutes. It's just going to drop off. Yes.
Can I just say, I remember when Christ entered my heart at 9, and I was transformed. You think 9 years old, you think, well, they're not a bad person. But you can still see the transformation in your heart. And yet, what I wanted to say was, God was just reminding me, even in that, I walked with him and I talked with him and I learned, but I also had a spirit of striving that I got from my, from that inherited down from my family. And so I had to do the right things. It was a have to, it was a ought to, it's a those kinds of things. And I remember when God freed me from that, because you don't even realize you have it. Mm-hmm. But you're working, you're doing, and you're feeling like you're unworthy. And then God showed me, it's not about being perfect, Ruth. It's not about striving and making it happen. It's about accepting what he's done and just accepting it. And so the transformation became even deeper by the time I hit 30, because I realized, okay, it's not about me doing it. I do it out of my love for him and out of my love to be with you. I come and I be there and I spend time with him. But I don't do it because I have to.
Right.
I do it because I love to and because it fills me up and I grow in it. And so the transformation is continual, but sometimes there's things that are there keeping us from fully understanding it. And once those are gone, there's a deeper understanding, right?
Yeah, we need to not receive condemnation. We need to not look at ourselves as who we are now, because we'll just beat ourselves up. We need to look at who we are the way God sees us because of Jesus. Okay? It's a huge difference. Condemnation will kill you.
Yes.
It'll crush your spirit. And that's why, you know, the next slide is, we need to focus on heaven. I don't know how to get people to do this. Satan's a liar.
Yes.
Okay, the only thing he ever says is a lie. The only thing God ever says is truth.
Right.
God spoke. He wrote it down. And if you spend more time in the Word, listening to the Holy Spirit, less time listening to the devil, your attitude is going to start changing.
Yeah. Right.
Okay? Did you hear me?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Less time in the world. Stop listening to the music that brings you down. Start listening to upbeat Christian, real Christian truth in the songs, okay? I don't care what genre you listen to. Just make sure it's got lots of good theology and Bible in it, because that's where the power is. The Word of God is living and active and powerful. It transforms us from the inside out. So his resurrection means our resurrection. His resurrection means our focus is heaven, okay? Think about this. It's what I've been saying, Colossians 3:1. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God, which is, by the way, where you're sitting. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth, for you died. You die. Your old you is dead. And your life is hidden with Christ in God. Where are you now? You're with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. When he returns, poof, that reality that you're with him now will become fully realized. You'll be in his presence forever, literally, tangibly. 1 Corinthians 15:58. So my dear brothers and sisters, be strong and steady, always enthusiastic about the Lord's work. See, your focus is heaven. You're not focused on the things of the earth and all the discouragements and despair that's going on planet Earth. Who cares? It's going to burn up.
Yeah.
We have one mission, to do the Lord's work on earth, which is to live in the power of the resurrection and declare the truth that Jesus is the Savior of the world. He's come to set us free and deliver us from this place. He's taking us to a better place, and that's how we live, right? Enthusiastic about the Lord's work. Are you enthusiastic that he's called you to make disciples and preach the good news and baptize people and raise the dead and lay hands on the sick? Are you excited that he's brought in the kingdom of God into your life and called you to live it loudly? That's the reality. That's who you are. That's what he's called you to do, okay? For you know that nothing you do for the Lord is ever useless.
Right. Never.
Simple. Truth, live for Jesus and your life will be amazing. Number 5, his resurrection means we live for God, not for self or sin. Similar with what I just said, but a little different twist, okay? Because I don't know what it takes to get people to realize this, other than reading the scriptures and believing what you read, okay? Believe the scriptures and live them out. Here we go, okay? We live for God. We were therefore, Romans 6:4, buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live in a new life. We too may live a new life in Christ. Okay? We're buried with him. Simple theology 101. We're buried with him, but most churches don't teach this. We live a new life in Christ now. If we have been united with him like in his death, we will certainly also be united with him in his resurrection. Guaranteed. For we know that our old self is crucified. Okay? The old you is gone, dead, buried with him, so that the body of sin might be done away with. Okay? I'll just keep reading because it's better to have scripture. That we should no longer be slaves to sin. You're over. It's done. Sin no longer has control over you. Because anyone who has died has been freed from sin. Now, if we die with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. For we know that Christ, since Christ was raised from the dead, he cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over him. The death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. Verse 11, underline this as I did. In the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. You're dead. I don't know how to say it. You, the old you doesn't exist. The old you doesn't want what the old you wanted. The new you wants Jesus, because that's who's inside of you, right? Count yourselves dead to sin and alive to God. You're alive. You're new creation in Christ. You're fully alive in Christ. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its evil desires. Do not offer the parts of your body to sin as instruments of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God. Why? Because you belong to God, as those who have been brought from death to life, and offer the parts of your body to him as instruments of righteousness. Simple truth. These things, this whole body doesn't belong to me anymore. It's for him. It belongs to him. You got that? If he owns it, he uses it the way he wants to. I don't get to use it for my purposes. He gets to use it for his purposes. You get that?
We like our comfort.
Doesn't matter. We're not here to be comfortable.
No, but that's a choice we have to make.
Absolutely. Yeah.
He didn't take it from us. Mm-hmm. He's asking us to offer it.
All this is truth that has been done for us.
Right.
We need to receive the truth. You know, the example I use often is when the policeman graduates from police school, and finally gets handed a badge and a gun, and is sent out into the field, he's not going to leave his uniform and his badge and gun at home and go and do police work. Otherwise, the world's just going to eat him up and think he's just an ordinary bloke, right? And they're going to have a field day with him. Because the first time he says, "Stop! I got no gun, I got no badge. I'm not who I should be right now." He's got no power, he's got no authority,
right?
We've been given it all. The king of the universe lives right here. He controls me. All authority has been given to me. Now go. The only way I can go is because he's inside of me. I have no power in myself. Okay? I can't raise the dead or heal the sick or do anything except that he does it through me.
Right.
When I'm yielded to him, great things happen. When I'm yielded to myself and my sin, watch out. It's not good. And friends, it's like emotions. When emotions control you, guess what comes out? Emotions. When Jesus controls you, guess what comes out? Jesus. Right? We have the mind of Christ. We have the attitude of Christ. We are the hands and feet of Christ if we live in Christ. Okay? It's a choice. All of this is a choice. I can choose to believe that I live on planet Earth and I'm susceptible to all the things of Earth, or I can choose to believe I'm on my way to heaven and I'm getting a new body and it's already started because I'm already in the kingdom of God. I don't, see, this is the whole thing about faith, right, that I've been talking about. Hebrews 11:1 says, we live by faith, not by sight. Well, that's not exactly where that says that, but faith is believing what I don't see, being certain of what I hope for. Okay, so I'm going to believe that this is who I am because this is what it says and this is what I'm going to be. And I'm going to walk out who I am right now. And I'm going to be confident in the Lord. And the power of his might is going to be mine. And I'm going to go and defeat Satan and his armies out there and in my life. Okay? The only way to do that is if I believe and receive it and walk it out. Okay? Any other questions?
Well, good. We can only walk it out if we believe it and receive it. So we believe that we're still sinners in Christ. then what are we, how are we going to walk, live our lives as a sinner?
That's right.
As someone who is not victorious and not an overcomer of Christ, but if we believe the truth that sin no longer has mastery over us and we're free from sin and we're saints and not sinners, and when we believe that, how are we going to live our lives? We're going to live our lives as saints in Christ who are victorious.
Right, and it's more than believing just up here.
Yes.
It's believing in here. Right, so that if I do sin, which I probably will at some point, I'll say the wrong thing and do the wrong thing. That's just because this old flesh is still hanging on. It doesn't identify who I am.
That's
right. Okay, I'm still a child of God, and just because I've you know succumbed to that temptation doesn't mean that's who I am. That's the old man, and I'm in a moment of weakness, and you know I haven't been reading my word and believing the word. Suddenly, the devil tempted me, and he got me. Okay, that's the reality. We don't have to live like that. We start telling the devil, you know, if you resist the devil, he will flee from you.
Right.
How do you resist the devil? Same way Jesus did. You know, get thee behind me, Satan. Or you can say, like, it is written. Mm-hmm. It is written.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You're a liar. This is what it says. That's what Jesus did.
That's right.
He tries to offer you all this stuff. You know, it's really the same thing as Jesus.
Yeah.
Right? It was 1 John say, the tempted by the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Those are the three ways he gets us to sin.
Yep.
So Jesus, it was like 40 days of fasting, right? I'm really hungry. Come on. I'll give you some bread. No, man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes out of the mouth of God, right? Like, I'm not listening to you, Satan. I don't need physical food right now. I need spiritual food, okay? So you tell the devil, this is probably a great diet plan too. You can overcome your temptation.
There's a donut right there.
You can spend thousands of dollars on weight training and equipment and, you know, all these nutritionists, but ultimately you just have to listen to the Holy Spirit say, don't eat that. Anyway, that's the sidetrack. Satan's going to tempt us with the things of this world. So you tell Satan, just like Jesus did, you know, you want to give me this, your kingdom? I already own this. This is all mine because my father created it. And by the way, the place I'm going to, it's a lot better than this. I really don't want any of this.
Yeah.
Right? Like, we just need to think, I'm already up there. Right? I'm already seated in heaven with him. Why would I want anything here? That's the heart of a real follower of Jesus, a missionary who doesn't care about, you know, comforts of earth. They just want to make Jesus known, so they abandon all to follow him, which, by the way, is what Jesus called us to do. So, as we grow in Christ, we let go of the things of the earth, and we set our eyes on things above, and life becomes much more worth living. Amen? Just as the song says, life is worth the living just because he lives. Last one. I added this at the last minute. Just what I've been saying, but even more so. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. Okay? There's power. I want to know Christ, to share in his sufferings, and the power of the resurrection. There is power. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. Right? Can do immeasurably more than we could ever ask or imagine according to the power that is at work within us. Right? You are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Is the Spirit of God dwelling in you? Have you been born again? Are you saved? Do you carry around Jesus? If that's true, Christ is in you. Okay, like, I tell myself this all the time, okay? God lives in me. If God lives in me, I'm not going to act the same way as a person who doesn't have God living in him. I'm not even going to be tempted by the same things. Right? It's a totally different reality. And like I said, the resurrection, we should be like excited. We should come to church like willing and anxious to sing his praises. Because it's a new reality, friends. It's a whole new world. A whole new world. It's unbelievable what we're living in. Right? If Christ is in you, the body is dead. He says it again, because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. Did you see that? Christ is in you. Spirit dwells in you. The Spirit dwells in you. Who are Christ and Holy Spirit? God. God. God lives here. God controls me. The world doesn't control me. Pierre Poilievre, he doesn't control me. Carney will never control me. Listen, I live on a different planet than the rest of this world. It's not our home. I'm an alien passing through. I'll cast my vote because Christians bug me. I should cast my vote. Otherwise, I shouldn't say anything. I'll cast my vote. That's fine. But I'm not going to live for him. I serve him. I serve God, not the prime minister. Okay? Donald Trump, he can take over Canada. I don't care. I don't live here. Take it over.
Like, well, we do care.
I don't care. Honestly, I'm on my way through. Yeah. Whoever rules this place, if they don't know Jesus, it's not good for them, right?
God already predestined it anyway.
Honestly.
He's in control.
If my eyes are focused on heaven, nothing that happens here is going to affect me. Yeah, you know, relational stuff, my kids, my grandkids, my parents, like, yeah, I'm human. I feel the pain. I feel the stuff that life brings. And all it does is make me focus more on what's waiting for me. Life's not easy. Jesus said that. But I'm going to prepare a place for you. When I come back, I'm going to take you to be with me. And where I am, there you'll be. And here's the reality. Where I am, here he is with me.
Right.
When he comes back, I'm going to be with him. Right now, he's with me. Okay? That's the truth. He's living where I'm living, and I'm going to live where he's living. So that's all because of the resurrection, friends. It's all because of the resurrection. It's bought and paid for. It's guaranteed. The Bible says he's given us his Holy Spirit, guaranteeing our inheritance. Okay? The Holy Spirit is the guarantee that you're going to get there. Okay? Persevere to the end. Holy Spirit even gives you the ability to persevere to the end. It's by grace you're saved. It's by grace you continue to be saved. Grace will get me home, the author said, right? That's truth. That's truth that we need to be excited about. It's truth that we need to share with the world. Or at least your loved ones. Okay? If you're excited about Jesus and what he's done for you and the resurrection, they will say, I really want what you got. Because I'm surrounded by people just like miserable and scared and depressed. And you got something that I don't. And I want to know what it is. Friends, it ain't a job. It's not retirement. Okay? It's not a new car. The only thing that makes you different is who's living inside you. They don't have them. Anyway, praise the Lord. That's all I want to say. Are there any comments or questions?